Henry Sikorski, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. We speak of nuclear weapons, and that is a way of talking about classification, especially when it comes to the U.S. capabilities. But classification itself, Henry has taught me these last 2 years, is a runaway train. And having been identified as a problem by news reports these last 2 years, is there a change? Henry, your measure, because there's legislation on this.
Yeah, well, I'd say we're at least now, we've moved from being boastful and proud of a bad system to at least voicing concerns that we've overdone it, so that we've moved from being, I guess, complicit to at least being hypocritical about it. And what I mean by that is a law did just get signed by the president, passed by both houses and both parties, saying we've got to learn how to declassify. We need to, you know, do the classifications more sensibly and make sure that the key secrets are kept secret, but we don't do a kind of press all buttons approach to get that to happen. Because what we've learned, and what people now in positions of high responsibility in the government and both parties are saying, is when you overdo it, make the rate of innovation go down, you make it impossible to deal with the allies that you absolutely need to be safe and to protect our form of government. And you essentially make business so difficult that you can't defend yourself. So I think that storyline has taken root. As far as the practicalities of changing the amount that we classify, making declassification happen, it's let's just be diplomatic and say that's a bit more of a work in progress. But at least we're on the hook claiming that there's a problem. And I don't think that was ever very clear, I'd say, 48 months ago.
My memory is that I think there was an example of classifying a menu at a gathering. Do I remember that correctly?
It's such a good story, it must be true.
And do you believe the overclassification is now identified as to be done by the political
actors? Yeah, and we'll see. I think the fact of the matter is there are so many solid and massive forces to keep us doing the wrong thing. It's not going to be all that easy to do better. But at least we're on the hook to say we're going to try. And I think that's progress.
Atoms for Peace. We've discussed this recently. In December of 1953, the new president, Dwight David Eisenhower, presented to the United Nations General Assembly a program proposing to pool knowledge as well as fissile materials under the control of the IAEA or administration of the IAEA in order to avoid a competition nuclear arms race that subsequently did break out between the U.S. and the Soviet Union and other actors. There are now 9 official nuclear powers on the earth. Atoms for Peace, however, also led to the peaceful use of atomic energy secrets. That would be nuclear power plants. Henry, is it your measure that nuclear power plants are a success, or is there a caveat?
Well, clearly, in some countries, in a number of advanced economies, you get percentages of the electricity produced by fission. You know, they're like 10 to 70%. So, you know, the idea that nothing happened and it was a flop, I think, you know, that's ridiculous. What hasn't happened, though, is a production of electricity that has been clearly cheaper than other alternatives, including not just coal and hydro, traditional things, but now renewables. And I think nuclear power is struggling on that economic front, very clearly so. And this is the reason why the government is spending so much money, many governments, on trying to come up with new designs that somehow or another are going to be more economical. we'll see. You can tell by the tone of my voice, been here before, skeptical. But, you know, the bigger problem, I think, though, is that with the spread of nuclear power technology, which is essentially reactor technology, which in the early days of the 40s we used to make bomb plutonium, is being shared without an eye towards the risks of these things being bomb starter kits. And I think we are assiduously ignoring this problem, even more now because we've got the bigger concern of global warming. And of course, Republicans, sort of say this. If they get into power, will say, oh, well, if not global warming, we got to worry about energy security, you know. Okay, but we ought to also be worried that, you know, even light water reactors in the hands of North Koreans turn into, according to the South Korean defense minister, well, they're going to use it to make tritium for boosting nuclear weapons and use it as a test bed for a naval reactor. And he said, yeah, it's even conceivable, although he didn't think it was likely, they may use it to make plutonium. Well, this is a problem for Saudi Arabia, if we start doing nuclear cooperation with them. It could be a problem, with other nations as well. And I don't think we have a system yet, despite all these decades since Eisenhower, that really knows how to, cope with this. And I don't think we're talking enough about it now. We used to. I think it was quite the rave in the 70s to talk about it publicly a lot. We've fallen out of practice. We don't talk about it.
And in our final 30 seconds, your measure of the very significant remark you made, a bomb starter kit, is that language in Washington now, Henry? 30 seconds.
No. In a word, it needs to be. I don't see how we're going to seriously export small, large, or any reactors to places like the Middle East or East Asia and be free of the problem. We've identified that China is using its civil system for bombs. We need to wake up with regard to what we're doing.
Henry Sikorski is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.